Welcome again to the Andrew Paul Cannon podcast, where I look at the text of Scripture and we talk about issues in ministry, theology, and exposition. And today I'm going to look at the passage I preached on Sunday to my home church, Ellick Southern Baptist Chapel. This is in John chapter 1, verses 14 through 18. Listen to this passage of Scripture with me. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We, the apostles, observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him and exclaimed, "This was the one of whom I said, 'The one coming after me ranks ahead of me because he existed before me.' Indeed, we have all received grace upon grace from his fullness. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The one and only Son, who is himself God and is at the Father's side, he has revealed him." All right, so there are a couple issues in theology and in exposition here. Because, I mean, we read through the Old Testament, and it sure seems as though Adam saw God, talked with God in the garden. As God walked through the garden in the cool of the day, it sure seems as though Abraham saw God, talked directly with God. It sure seems as though Moses saw God, talked directly with God. Even Jacob, it is said he wrestled God, not only saw him, but wrestled him. And then you have a New Testament author, John, who very clearly, John, through his gospel here, through the letters that he wrote in the New Testament, and even in the book of Revelation, it is very clear that John knows his Old Testament. He knows about Adam. As he's writing the gospel here, he knows about Abraham, he knows about David, he knows about Jacob, he knows about Moses, he knows about the prophets who seem to have spoken with God. Yet here in this text, he makes a very clear statement. No one has ever seen God at any time. And that's very interesting to me. John, not only is he considering the Old Testament text, but he's really thinking about God's nature overall as transcendent, as holy, as invisible. And here, when he makes the claim, no one has ever seen God, he's making that claim while he is aware of very clear Old Testament texts that have people dealing directly with God, even Moses, who spoke with God face to face. And it really makes you wonder what's going through John's mind here in John chapter 1. How can he write that no one has seen God at any time? And then he says, "But there is the only Son, who is himself God and is at the Father's side. He has revealed him." So John's thinking in very Trinitarian terms. He's thinking of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's thinking in a very philosophical, theological way about God as essence and then God as persons, about God as essence, who is invisible and unseeable, who is holy and transcendent, how people have no hope of coming into contact with God in his essence, unless God chooses to reveal himself. And here John also makes the claim that the Son, who is God, manifestation of God in essence as a person of the Godhead, separate from the Father and the Spirit, but it's the Son reveals God. And this makes me think, like, through the entire Old Testament, and this has to be what John was thinking, it makes me think that through the entire Old Testament, every time somebody saw God, every time somebody spoke with God, every time God let someone see the hem of his garment, or every time somebody interacted with God in any kind of way, when Abraham spoke with God, when Moses saw God in the burning bush, when Moses spoke to him face to face, when Jacob wrestled God, that all of these theophanies were in fact the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, the one who reveals the essence of God to people, the one who makes himself visible to people. So just because we are limited in our perception, limited in our vision, limited by material, by what we can see and hear and touch and feel and taste, because we are limited in those ways, there is no way whatsoever that we can ever perceive God in his essence. We might be able to discern his glory, to see his glory all around us in creation. But as far as being able to see him, John is very clear here in the New Testament, in considering his interpretation of the Old Testament, that we are not able, we don't have the ability to see God in his truest essence. He is transcendent. He is holy. It's no wonder then that over the ages, people have developed so many different religious viewpoints. And I think John's getting to that here in this text too, that people have had to create these religions for themselves where they have certain practices that make them feel spiritual or feel holy. This, I think, is one of the reasons in our current time, the dogmatic faiths, Anglicanism, Orthodoxy, and Catholicism, are so attractive to young people who want to love Jesus and want to be the best they can be for Jesus, because those faiths present many pictures of what they think God is and looks like. They make it easy for people to feel religious. And when we feel religious, we feel a little bit closer to God. But the fact of the matter remains, no matter what we do religiously, no one has seen God at any time. This human religion, though it makes us feel a little more spiritual, it makes us feel a little closer to God, it actually does nothing for us. Our religion, our religiosity, it is practically worthless. No matter what our religion is, even popular Christianity, our religious practices don't actually do anything to bring us closer than God, because we don't have the ability to see God, to perceive God. The only hope we really have is if Jesus would make God in essence clearly visible by being the fullness of the representation of God on this earth. And he was. This is why the descriptions of Jesus in the New Testament, they're really all we need to know who God is, because Jesus has revealed God fully. Another point John brings up here in this passage is really interesting. It has to do directly with the claim about worldly religion and the religions we give ourselves to. In verse 17 there, he says, "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." So the law, including the ritualistic law, the religion, I believe God gave to the Jews, that law is distinct from the grace and truth that come with Jesus. Not unimportant, right? God gave it. Obviously, it is important, but this kind of enlightens us as to the limitations of the law and the limitations of worldly religion. The Jews sacrificed a lot. They had a sacrificial system. They had a system of priests. They had religious practice. They had religious washing. They had a lot of ritual that helped them to, in some way, feel God as tangible, right? Now, the temple was the same way. So Solomon built the temple, And his prayer is very interesting to me there when he builds the temple. When Solomon built the temple, his prayer literally said, God, we know that this temple cannot contain your presence. It just cannot. And so the temple was never to be a dwelling place of God, where people had to come to meet God. But he said in some way, or he asked God, by grace, people who come here to pray, if he would hear their prayers. So the temple was always to be a house of prayer. It was never to be God's dwelling place, but it was always to be a tangible place that helped people in some way feel like they were connecting to God. Even though God could hear them anywhere, even though God is omnipresent, people needed something tangible, which I think in large part is why God gave the law in the first place, why God gave any kind of religion, religiosity in the first place, because as people having such limited vision, we need something tangible. And I think again, that's why there's this conversion to faiths that tend to, through depictions and sacraments and orders of service, liturgies that seem to make what they claim about God more tangible. Now, we could talk at another time about whether or not what they claim about God is accurate. I think some of it may be, and some of it is not, right? But as far as making tangible things so that people can feel connected to God, I think those systems do a good job of making what they think about God tangible. Now, it may be accurate or not on some points, but we definitely need something tangible. And this is why religions around the world make tangible systems, right? This is why God gave Israel a tangible system, because the Christ had not come yet to be the fullness of the revelation of God to everyone, to enlighten all people. And so the Jews had this religious system that would help them feel connected to God, that in some ways would make their idea of God a little more tangible. And we know no religious system can be just a super accurate picture of God. One, because religious systems must be interpreted, right? The pictures they depict must be interpreted by people, and everybody interprets evidence differently. But also, like the religious systems, they are not God. And I think God's desire is to be connected directly to us. So the law was given through Moses. This religious system was given through Moses, and that was sufficient for a time, but God wants us to know him, and you cannot know God through any religious system. This is relational. This is relational type language. It's not knowing facts about God, or thinking we have some kind of knowledge, whereby God must bless us because we know what we think are the right things. I am very skeptical about whether we can really know much about anything. To claim to know something factually, it's very strong language. Everybody says that we can know stuff, but I'm just not convinced that we can know things factually, especially the things of history and the things that are beyond our senses, beyond our observation. Like the question, does God exist? I don't know that we could come to a faithful answer by relying on our own reason and our own ability to observe, because God, by definition, is transcendent, which is what John is claiming here. He is beyond our sight. No one has seen God at any time. So we have all of these religious systems in the world, including Christianity in many ways. And in this way that these are religious systems, built on some form of religiosity, ritual, law, every single religion seeks to do exactly the same thing, and that's to make what is invisible visible. Here's the trick, though, and this, no matter how old any religion is, that's why the whole conversation about what religion is older and what stories came from where is just kind of silly to me. But no matter how old a religion is, wherever the inception of that religion is, the people who wrote down what they were saying, none of them saw God either. None of them. And so every single religion, from a ritualistic standpoint, from a practice standpoint, is in the exact same boat. That's why you can look at 99.8% of religion on planet Earth and see it's all the same. That's why you can look at religion as ritualistic, and determine that there are multiple ways to heaven, because every religion seems to be seeking to do the exact same thing, and that's make the invisible visible. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were given through Jesus. And John's claiming here, Jesus is the fullness of the revelation of God. He's saying, we need something better than the law. And that becomes painfully apparent when you start reading the law of Moses and you begin realizing that no one can keep that. No one can be perfect in the eyes of the law of Moses. In fact, no matter what someone's religion is, I am very sure that no one can be perfect in the eyes of their own religion. That we need something better than worldly religiosity and the ritualistic systems that are passed down by men. We need something better than that. Enter Jesus Christ, right? The Word become flesh, the second person of the Trinity, the fullness of the revelation of God in the Old Testament and the New. And he assumes a human flesh, and he lives among men. He dwells among people. He is seen by people. He interacts with people. And this embodiment, the fullness of the embodiment of God in human flesh, that if we could see the essence of God, Jesus is exactly what the essence of God would look like in human form, and that we can read testimony about how he lived and who he was, and that now the Holy Spirit has come. It seems to me that God has gone through great lengths to make himself visible in a way that is not religious, but relational. And so we'll hear Protestant Christians all the time. They'll say it's not about religion. It's about relationship, right? And somebody on TikTok just a couple days ago asked me, well, how can you actually know God? How can you actually know that what Jesus said in the Gospels that he actually said? And my response was along the lines of knowledge and knowing history, that knowledge is actually very, very difficult, very, very impossible. But ultimately, I arrived at the conclusion that I have faith. Jesus said what is recorded in the New Testament. I have faith. He said those things because I believe the testimony of the people who wrote them for various reasons, including from textual criticism and including how they follow from the Old Testament so well and describe the prophecies being fulfilled the way that they do. But when it comes to knowing God, I think the only way to know God isn't a matter of religious knowledge or religious practice. The law came through Moses. It showed us that we couldn't get to God. It showed us just how invisible God actually is. But I think the only way to know God is quite literally to look to Jesus and have a relationship with Jesus, right? So it really does come down to having a relationship rather than having religious knowledge. It really does come down to having a relationship rather than a bunch of religious practice. And so in many ways, whether Protestant or Anglican or Orthodox or Catholic, just across the board, if our religion is ritualistic, if we rely on icons and sacraments ordinances, or if we rely on our ability to keep the law, if we're relying on these things, it is very unlikely that we will actually know Christ relationally. And so human religious systems actually become very distracting from the main point, which I think is what we learned in the Old Testament. The Jews couldn't keep the law, and they kept giving themselves over to idolatry, because this very tangible thing, people got connected to the tangible thing rather than the law, the temple, rather than what the tangible thing was supposed to represent, which is God. The temple was always to be a house of prayer, not a den of thieves, right? And Jesus makes that point in the New Testament. So when we're thinking about this, those pictures, our ritualistic tendencies as people, the fact that we need something tangible to hold on to, sometimes that can get in the way, I think, of us actually pursuing relationship with Jesus, or thinking about God in terms of relationship, or looking to Jesus as the fullness of the revelation of God, because we're always looking for something tangible. And then we get connected to that tangible thing, and that tangible thing takes the place of God. So I think our ritualistic religion actually gets in the way of us following Christ. I think sometimes it gets in the way of us being children of God. And this is true, I think, for every religion. That's why we can become so persuaded in our own religion, no matter what it is, whether you are a Muslim, whether you are a Christian or a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness or Hindu, even if you are an atheist, we get connected to the visible so much so that we don't often consider the holiness and the transcendence of God. We get connected to what we can see. We subscribe to the law of Moses, or the law of things we see in the New Testament, really something we have stitched together for ourselves. And we become very passionate about it. And we think serving those things is the same as serving God. This is human nature. And this is a similarity between every single worldly religion on the face of the planet that is ritualistic, when in reality, what we want, what we need, is a relationship with Christ. And that's not something that comes by our own religiosity. And I think that's exactly the point John is making in this text. The law came through Moses, but it's grace and truth that came through Jesus. I hope this episode has stimulated your mind. Be sure to check out andrewpaulcannon.blog. I'll publish some there. And be sure to check out elexsbc.church. That's alexsbc.church. And if you are local, if you are in or around Chickasha, Oklahoma, Bradley, Oklahoma, Lindsay, Oklahoma, if you're in Grady County, I hope to see you at church on Sunday and on Wednesdays as we have a conversation about some of these topics. I hope this has been stimulating for you, and I will catch you next week on the Andrew Paul Cannon podcast.